are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
This is your voice for freedom and democracy.
Hello, that's your frequency. You are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
This is Radio Rhino International Africa. This is your voice for freedom. It is your symbol for the future. It is your symbol of hope. This is Radio Rhino International Africa. This is your voice for freedom. It is your voice for liberty.
Hello, you are on the right way. You are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
You are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
And welcome to Radio Rhino International Africa. My name is Ute. Today after the news we present to you a telephone interview with Brigadier Sam Kolo, who called our studio this morning.
Radio Rhino International Africa News.
Northern Uganda. Refuting last weekend claims by dictator Museveni, the Lord's Resistance Army military spokesman Brigadier Sam Kolo has denied Uganda killed 25 soldiers of LRA. Brigadier Kolo said Uganda military gunship shelled and killed 7 innocent children and women who had been caught up in the heart of a battle sparked off by UPDF military ambush. Kolo said LRA killed 13 soldiers of Uganda Army whose dead bodies still lay at the scene of last weekend battle. Kolo called on the international press to physically visit and witness the dead bodies of Uganda Army. Brigadier Sam Kolo said LRA declared a ceasefire in response to the cries and sufferings of the inhabitants of northern Uganda and the pleas of the international community for peaceful settlement. Kolo invited Uganda Army to reciprocate by joining and declaring an unconditional ceasefire and to pursue peaceful means to end the war that has ravaged northern Uganda for the last 18 years. However, Brigadier Kolo warned, should Uganda Army continue in its military offensive, LRA will decide on how to respond appropriately.
Well, I'm not under any pressure of the government of Uganda, neither the old LRA leadership. We are just very free in the bush, moving freely like birds in the air. We have just offered this ceasefire not because we are under pressure from the government, but we have offered this ceasefire because we have heard the cries of the people in northern Uganda. We have also heard the cries of the people of international community because they believe this war can no longer be achieved by military options.
Northeastern Uganda. At least 45 people have been killed and many others injured in a new wake of violence in Naka Piripirit district. The Pokot County MP, Mika Lolem, told the Monitor in an interview on Monday that a total of 13 Pokot warriors have been killed in separate attacks since last week. Mika Lolem said 4 shepherds and 1 warrior were killed in an attack at Lomorai village in Loro sub-county after a gang of over 200 raiders stormed the villages and made off with over 300 heads of cattle. He said 8 Karimojong attackers were also killed in that particular fighting. Mika Lolem said 3 other people were killed Friday during a massive raid in Achochor, Chemakani and Abiliel villages. He said 15 raiders also lost their lives during a severe battle which lasted 6 hours. Mika Lolem said 150 head of cattle were stolen and blamed the increased violence on a ploy by the Pian and Bokora, accused of exploiting the laxity of a ceasefire with the Pokot and used it as a ploy to raid cattle. Kampala, Uganda. Uganda's State Minister for Sports, Okello Oryem, has said the inhabitants of northern Uganda are neither interested in third term nor federal discussions. Addressing a press conference on the International Peace Week, State Minister Okello Oryem said the people of northern Uganda want peace and an end to the 18-year-old northern Uganda civil war. Okello Oryem advised the media and other stakeholders to focus on the war in northern Uganda. Meanwhile, Uganda's Minister of State for Security in the Office of the President, Betty Akech, has warned Ugandans against political violence. Akech warned Ugandans against politicizing security but urged them to join hands in making sure the people have a safe and secure environment in which to play politics. Betty Akech is remembered for having flashed wine on some foreign diplomat at a dinner party in the residence of an American diplomat. Kampala, Uganda. A Teso politician, Francis Ogwang, falsely arrested, illegally detained and tortured on alleged treason charges, has filed an application against government of dictator Museveni, seeking compensation for unlawful arrest, torture and detention by security agents. Francis Ogwang, Pascal Gakiaro and 3 others were jointly charged with alleged treason. In a suit at the High Court, Francis Ogwang states that on January 9, 2003, he was unlawfully arrested by security operatives from his home in Soroti and detained in ungazetted places for 7 days without being charged. He adds that during the arrest he was tortured, leading to deprivation of his human rights. Uganda High Court Judge Okumu Wengi has ordered government to file its defense against the application. Kampala, Uganda. Reacting to reports that the government of Uganda was uncomfortable with Besigye's activities in South Africa and wanted his meeting stopped, the South African High Commissioner to Uganda, Bavumile Vilakazi, has said Dr. Kizza Besigye is free to meet Ugandan delegations in South Africa. The South Africa diplomat said that by meeting delegations of the Forum for Democratic Change, Besigye had flouted no South African legislation or its constitution. The ambassador said the South African government is not aware that Colonel Kizza Besigye, while residing in South Africa, has compromised South Africa's legislation. Besigye, as any other person living in or visiting South Africa, has the right to associate or meet with any other person. However, the South Africa ambassador said South Africa, on receipt of contradictory evidence, would not hesitate to act and cooperate with any state affected by such activities. Kampala, Uganda. In an interview on the BBC, Uganda's dictator Museveni blamed the Uganda police for incompetence that forced Uganda dictatorship to deploy soldiers and other armed state agents who carried out and committed unwanted terror, violence and killings in the last 2001 Uganda elections. defending the record of human rights in Uganda following the Human Rights Watch annual report, which described Uganda as a state of torture and pain, Dictator Museveni called Human Rights Watch an institution of incompetent, uninformed personals. But as everyone may recall, while still a rebel leader, Museveni relied on Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch and other human rights institutions. Washington, USA. A key member of a high-level UN Reform Commission, Gareth Evans, says arguments at the United Nations in favor of a robust international response to halt the violence in Sudan's Darfur region have been undermined by the US invasion of Iraq and its aftermath. The case of Iraq had made it more difficult for the UN to establish the principles for outside intervention on humanitarian grounds. Evans, a former Australian foreign minister, said US exceptionalism had made some countries angst-ridden, but he also criticized those governments opposed to taking a strong line against Sudan as spoilers doing their stuff. His remarks highlight a growing debate over the issue of when and how nations should intervene to forestall humanitarian crises in sovereign countries. The US has been in the forefront of those calling the violence in Darfur genocide and pressing for a strong international response. As the panel seeks to generate ideas for overhauling the way in which international institutions address emerging threats, humanitarian intervention is likely to become a central issue at the United Nations. And that was the news for today. And now we present to you a telephone interview with Brigadier Sam Kolo.
Dear listeners, I'm speaking with the Lord's Resistance Army military spokesperson and political commissar, Brigadier Sam Kolo, who is speaking to us on the line from northern Uganda. Welcome to our broadcast, Brigadier Sam Kolo.
Thank you.
Your announcement for a unilateral ceasefire last week has caused a lot of storm within the circles of the Uganda dictatorship, who mockingly are scoffing and laughing off at your offer as LRA's trick to escape from a successful tight military pressure by Uganda Army, who claim to have cornered your troops in Sudan. Why have you offered a ceasefire, Brigadier Sam Kolo?
First of all, I want Ugandans and all peace lovers to know that this has been the system of the NRA government since they forcefully came to power in 1986. We have been forced to fight for our rights, which had been violated since this dictatorship government came to power. We offer this ceasefire not because we are very weak or we are an oppressor by Uganda People's Defense Forces. We did offer this ceasefire because we had listened to the calls of the international community, who believes that the war in the north will never be won militarily. Secondly, we have offered this ceasefire because of the long sufferings of the people of northern Uganda, especially the people of Acholi and Langu, who have been forced into camps by the present government of President Yoweri Museveni.
Are you calling on the Uganda Army to declare a ceasefire too?
Yes. In the interest of peace, we are calling on Uganda People's Defense Forces to respond positively to our call of ceasefire so that we come to a negotiating table so that we can end this 18-year war and bring peace in northern Uganda. We are calling on Uganda People's Defense Forces to cease fire so that we see how we can begin a full, meaningful peace negotiation, not because we have been surrounded or we want to escape fire of Uganda People's Defense Forces. That is not true. We are very free moving in the bush. We are as free as birds in the air. We are very free in the bush moving during our operations both in Sudan and in Uganda. We are not under any pressure of the government of Uganda.
Refusing to recognize your declaration for a unilateral ceasefire, the Uganda government is vowing to continue with its military offensive against your positions and to possibly liquidate and destroy the entire LRA. For how long will you hold and honor your unilateral ceasefire if the government forces and the government of Uganda refuses to recognize and join you in the unilateral ceasefire? For how long are you going to honor your own ceasefire if the government continues with its military offensive?
We are going to consider. We have heard this statement which has been made by Major Bazariza dishonoring our call for ceasefire. We are going to sit down and see what we can do next. But I am telling you that these are the plans of the government of Uganda ever since they forcefully came to power. Museveni do not want to end this war through peaceful means because he believes in crushing or finishing the LRA, which is not the real motive in the interest of bringing peace. So we are sitting down and see what we can do because we cannot sit and wait while the government continues attacking our positions or ambushing our forces.
What is your reaction to Dictator Museveni's claim over the weekend that his army, rather the UPDF, killed 25 fighters of the LRA and took 7 of your soldiers captives?
Yes, I would like to make this point straight and clear to my fellow Ugandans and the international community that those people who President Museveni claimed that he has killed them were not really soldiers. These were civilians, children, women, families of soldiers who had gone to collect food from their food stores. And among these people who were ambushed by UPDF were mostly children and the casualties. In fact, when these people, the truth of the story was that on the 17th of this month, that is September year 2004, near a place in southern Sudan, these people went to collect food under the command of a commander called Lutiba. So on their way back, they entered a UPDF forces. In fact, it's disappointing. The people who were ambushed were really mostly children. And the forces who were guarding these groups were in fact very few. But when they entered into ambush, they managed to disorganize the UPDF forces. And the civilians, that is the wives and the cousins, withdrew and settled in a certain area under a big tree, leaving the forces to continue pursuing the UPDF forces. But on realizing that they were on a losing ground, they called for a helicopter gunship to rescue them. So in that moment, when the gunship came, of course, they could not find anybody. But unfortunately, they spotted these women and children who had took a refuge under a tree, a certain tree. Of course, this immediately, when these children and women noticed this gunship helicopter, they raised up their hands, indicating that they were harmless and they were civilians. But notwithstanding that, the gunship went on and spotted them and started throwing bombs on them. It is unfortunate they killed about 7 of these children and with their mothers and 2 of our casualties. It is very disappointing and sad to hear that Major Bazariza and his bosses, Mr. Museveni, to come up and call a press conference to announce proudly having killed innocent civilians who had gone to collect food, and these are not allied forces.
Well, Brigadier Sam Kolo, in the process of the ambush that your people entered into, did your soldiers report having killed any of the UPDF soldiers on that material day?
Yes, when they entered the ambush, of course, we managed to dislodge the UPDF forces, and they started taking to their heels. We managed to get 15 submachine guns, 2 boxes of SMG ammunition, 13 hand grenades. But fortunately enough, they were rescued when the 2 helicopter guns came. We counted 13 dead bodies of Uganda People's Defense Forces.
Were those bodies retrieved by the Uganda Army or they are still laying there in the bushes of Sudan?
I wish the international community could verify this information. If the government were really serious, they could take these bodies, they could take jurors to witness the dead bodies of UPDF. They are still lying. We left them lying.
You are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa, your only free and independent radio program for Africa. This is your chance to participate, your chance to contribute in a free, uncensored radio program. You can send us an email, a SMS, an audio file MP3. We'll publish your own free opinion. You may call
the following number for Germany, 0049, and then 162-885-4486, or visit our homepage. It's www.radiorhino.org.
Immediately after you announce a unilateral ceasefire, has any of your military position come under combined aerial or ground attack by the UPDF in Uganda or in southern Sudan?
We have noticed that the moment always when we declare a unilateral ceasefire, the government tend to intensify their operations against NRA. Immediately when I declared ceasefire 3 days ago, we came under attack by aerial around along a river Ashua Benches in northern Uganda and the recent ambushes in southern Sudan.
Well, Dictator Museveni claims that U.S. second-in-command Vincent Otti is either seriously injured or he has been killed. Is Vincent Otti alive or dead?
Vincent Otti is alive and well. You know, they have the tactics of trying to provoke him by claiming that he had been injured or killed so that they spot his position because, you know, they have attached a monitoring which can detect. If you talk over radio call, they can detect and send their gunship. So we have learned of that trick recently. So this time we are very careful. So Vincent is there alive and well. I can let you anytime from tomorrow or onwards. It is very well.
Now, Dictator Museveni claims that his army is scoring military victory against your forces because he is now better equipped. What intelligence information do you have on the armament of the Uganda army fighting against your forces?
We don't fear the gun, but we fear the man behind the gun. So the big guns, the President Museveni claims of having the upper hand over NRA is not threatening, because how many dictators have been overthrown in Africa when they have big guns, so many helicopters, so many hammermen and etc. We know of Said Barry, with everything. We know of President Amin, the late President Amin, he had everything. So if President Museveni boasts of having those big, we are not threatened because we have the brain and we are committed to our struggle. We don't fear that. We are going to continue fighting despite all these claims of having the upper hand, because history will tell us.
Now, as crisis broke out in Western Sudan, the African Union and EU, the UN, dropped the warring parties to negotiations. Are you willing, therefore, and ready to engage in the kind of Museveni-LRA Bigombe negotiations of 1993 without the presence and involvement of the international bodies or governments?
A good peace talk, a meaningful peace talk, a serious peace talk can only be done in the presence of witnesses, in the presence of international community, because this war was not started by the people of northern Uganda. It was a war which was brought upon the people of northern Uganda by the government of Uganda, that is, headed by President Museveni. So we cannot and we shall never accept a secret peace negotiation between NRA and the government of Uganda, because this war is being fought on behalf of the hungry, as I told you the other day, on behalf of the people who are suffering in camps and under the dictatorship government of President Museveni. We shall never accept secret peace negotiation. But we only accept a negotiation which is witnessed by international community.
Well, Brigadier Sam Kolo, last week you talked about the LRA's interest in democratization in Uganda. Today, in the Uganda Parliament in Kampala, I guess, they may table in the Uganda Parliament a set of proposed amendment bills. What is your expectation? Do you think this democratization process is going to be to the interest of the people of Uganda or to the interest of Dictator Museveni?
No, I don't believe it will be in the interest of the people of Northern, of the people of Uganda. No. Because I believe this roadmap is going to be totally manipulated by NRM supporters, that is, by the government of Uganda, because ever since this sketch map of democratization should have been discussed a long time ago, but they are doing it because they want to make things in a hurry so that it gives time for them and does not give time to opposition to see beyond their nose. So I believe the thing is going to be hijacked by the government of Uganda, as they have hijacked the constitution of 1995 on those bills.
Well, finally, Brigadier Sam Kolo, what is your message to the international community and to the people of Uganda?
To my fellow Ugandans, there is no way they can change the interest of Mr. Museveni by vote. I do believe that if they believe they are going to change this government by vote or by cut, they are in for a surprise, because Museveni came to power by the gun. He who comes by the gun goes by the gun. It is fire that will kill fire, not water. So I believe Ugandans must know this in mind. Even if those members of parliament are going to table and discuss that important bill today, they must know that President Museveni is serious being the president of Uganda for life. And he is interestingly going to have the third term the expense of people of Uganda. To the international community, let them put much pressure on the government of Uganda, the way they are putting on the government of Al-Bashir, that is Sudan, so that peace prevails in northern Uganda. Without peace prevailing in northern Uganda, I don't think democratization process will go on smoothly, and the election will not take place smoothly, because northern Uganda has never experienced peace since Museveni came to power in 1986. Let the international community stop behaving like a snake with a double head, that having double standards. Especially, I call on the UN, Mr. Kofi Annan, Secretary General, to come up with a full statement denouncing what the government of Uganda is doing.
Well, assuming that Uganda is forced to admit to negotiations, are you willing to go to the negotiating table anywhere in the world?
We will accept negotiating with the government to force Muslims into accepting a serious and meaningful peace negotiation. And if our security is guaranteed, because this dictator kill our machinery all over the world, especially in Western countries. So if they can guarantee our security, well and good, we shall accept negotiating with the government of Uganda on condition that our security can be guaranteed by the international community and other Ugandans at large.